praise offering. He's good. He's worthy. Amen. You may be seated. Would you do me a favor, actually? Could you greet one another as we just come together? And would you greet one another?
Greetings, brother.
Thanks. Thanks, man. Well, good morning again. My name is Pastor Mike, and I have the privilege of serving here as one of the associate pastors, along with my wife, my lovely wife, Christine, over here on the keyboards. And we're so thankful that you're joining us here in the house. And if you're joining us online, we want to welcome you. And if this is your first time here, we would love to connect with you. And so, again, there's just a really quick and easy way to do that. You can just take your phone out. We like technology because it makes it a lot easier a lot of times, and we can actually track and we can communicate, you know, better. And I think pretty much I could probably safely say everybody in here, probably 95% of us all have smartphones. Would we all agree with that? Most of us have a smartphone. Now, let me also clarify, that doesn't mean you always know how to use it, right? Yeah. I'm right there in that. So don't hear me try to, I'm not speaking down or anything. I'm just saying this. We all have smartphones. And one of the easiest and best ways that you can do to connect with us is take your phone out, scan that little QR code either on your bulletin or in front of you. You have a little sticker right there in front of you on the pew. You can do that. It sends you to a quick text link. And then that just starts that process of corresponding back and forth with us. So again, if you're joining us online, we'd love to connect with you as well. We're so thankful. We love to hear always where people are joining us from. It's always a cool thing. If you're one that does that often, if you join us online, it's always fun to see who's, you know, hey, I'm joining you from. I know we got Colorado, we have Missouri, I think we have people from Pennsylvania, and then we have other countries too. So again, it's always a cool thing. But if you're in the house, and this is your first time, do that, fill that out, do that connect, then take it back to our VIP center right here in the lobby, our foyer area, and they just want to bless, just show them, hey, I went ahead and did the connection, and they just want to bless you with a little gift. It's something that we've prepared just to say thank you for being here. We love you, and we want to bless you in that way, a little gift card for Chick-fil-A. Just an easy way to say thank you. If this is your first time, and if you're looking for a home church, we would always say this, prayerfully consider making Crosspoint your church home. So again, welcome this morning. If you're new with us or if you've been here for a while, I always like to just go over real quick just ways to give. We are a church who believes in the principle and the blessing and the obedience of our faithfulness within our tithes and our offerings. And so there's just a couple of different ways that we can give. You can either scan the QR code on your bulletin. It says, you know, scan to give, I think it is, something like that. And that will take you right to a link that you can do that. Super easy to do that. You can actually go through our Church Center app. We have an app. And if you don't have that, selfless plug here, I would encourage you to do that because it's a great way, it's a great resource tool that you can stay informed, connected, and engaged with everything going on. In fact, I'll say it in a little bit as far as sermon notes, Church Center app is a great way. But you can give through our Church Center app. You can also give online just at our website, cpoint.church. And then if you're here in the building and you say, hey, I don't like all that, that's fine. I like the old, you know, write a check or I have cash. Absolutely. You're more than welcome. We have giving stations in the back. You can do that as well. Just a couple things that I want to bring your attention to as we transition a little bit in our announcements. I mentioned a couple weeks ago, I think I started mentioning, we are excited to have Joe Jackson with us. That's going to be Sunday, August 3rd. He's a former NFL player. He's also an Assemblies of God evangelist, and he's going to be with us that morning. In fact, what we're going to do, he's going to be bringing the word, I'm pretty sure. I'm not exactly sure what he and Pastor Brad have kind of worked out as far as the service goes, but I would encourage each and every one of you, you are invited to a continental breakfast that we're going to have that morning, and we're going to have that at 8:30, and I'm not sure where in the building we're going to do that quite yet, So hang tight, but we are excited and we want to just fellowship. It's just a time of just gathering together. It's similar. I know a lot of you come early. You come and have coffee and donuts. And so this is similar to that, but it's going to be just a little bit earlier. So we have a little bit more time with our guest to come, kind of like a meet and greet, I guess you could say. But really just fun fellowship time. That's going to be at 8:30. But we do ask, though, would you do me a favor? And would you scan the QR code? We love QR codes, right? And just basically let us know that you're coming. It's free of cost. There's no cost, but we just want to know, make sure we have enough food and that kind of stuff so that we're understanding of how many we're preparing for. So that's going to come up on August 3rd. That's Hall of Fame weekend. And he's going to be here for some of the festivities. He'll be probably doing some things with that. He's not a Hall of Famer in that way. He's not an inductee. But we're going to be blessed with his presence here. So can I just encourage you, be here for that. That is so fun. That weekend, I know it's busy. Everybody's got a lot of stuff going on. But Joe Jackson's going to be here blessing us with his coming with the word. And we can have that time of fellowship. So again, just scan that QR code if you feel led so to be here. All right, so the last announcement that I want to make sure that everybody is understanding. So if you remember about a couple months ago now, we decided, and we have done this before actually, where we take a break during the summer with our journey night. Everybody on the same page with me? Everybody remember what we kind of broke, so we didn't do our large dinner. All of our programs either stopped or kind of scaled back. And here's what we decided to do. So currently, we've been still meeting. Our Celebrate Recovery has been meeting. All of our child care has been going on through the summer. So nursery, Journey Kids with Pastor Amber, LG with the youth, the Crosspoint Crusaders, our youth group. That has still continued. And along with one small adult group going on. So here's what we've decided to do just for the remainder of the summer, just for the sake of giving people a break, taking a pause with everything. We're going to meet for 2 more weeks. So we are going to end our journey night on July 23rd, and we're going to break until we come back in the fall like we normally do. And I believe it's going to be September 10th. It's the first full week after Labor Day is what we kind of usually do. And don't quote me on that. We'll get that to you. But we're going to take a break for the remainder of the summer just to give our crew a complete kind of time off a little bit. So does that make sense? Is everybody okay with that? It's just having good stewardship of the people, making sure that we are managing well in that way. And so we're going to do that. We're going to take a break. So what does that mean? That means that all of our programs that happen on Wednesday night, all of our childcare, Journey Kids, Cross Point Crusaders Youth, the weekly meeting that they have, right? All of that, our adult small group that's currently meeting, all of that will stop in 2 weeks and 2 Wednesdays, not this coming, but next Wednesday, next week on the 23rd. And that will be our last of the summer, okay? So if you have any questions, come find me, come talk to me. But I think that's just a really good thing for us to do. It's really healthy. So again, thank you again for letting me give all those announcements. So I'm excited. I do have an update. Pastor Brad, he sends his well wishes. He's currently on the beach right now. No, I'm only kidding. He's not. He's all upset because I don't think he's allowed to ride his motorcycle for a little while. But I think that's fair. I think he should take a break from that just for a little couple days at least. But he sends his well wishes. He's doing well. His surgery went well. He had the first few days, as any surgery, I think most of us who have had surgeries, especially something as significant as what he had, I think would understand that maybe he had some pain. But certainly in the last couple days, he said he's doing much better. And he wanted me to let you know he appreciates and he's very thankful for all the love, support, prayers, texts, calls, whatever, if you've reached out to him. So he just wanted me to basically convey that to you. Thank you. And let's continue to lift him up in prayer as he continues to recover. He will still be out for the next week or so. So you got to bear with me. I'm sorry, right? So, but I'm excited though. But yeah, let's just continue to lift Pastor Brad up. And but he sends his warm wishes as well as Nicole, and she says thank you as well. So we are currently sticking with our Let Loose series. Now, again, I have loose behind me, right? So if you didn't know, that is what we're talking about. We're talking about some kind of powerful, really challenging messages in these last 2 weeks. Have you enjoyed the series so far? I think Pastor Brad is really, he's been really anointed. I think that people have engaged the series. And so he asked if I would continue the series. And so I said, absolutely. And so we kind of have together, we've come up with these next few sermons. And so I'm hoping, I'm praying again that it's not my words, but it's the Holy Spirit speaking through me. So let me do just a quick review. We started just a few weeks ago with Come Forth. Excuse me, Come Forth. And we were looking at the story of Lazarus. Lazarus coming out, and Jesus saying, Lazarus, come out, come forth out of the tomb after Jesus miraculously raises him. And then we kind of talked about the idea that God is calling people out of dark places. Miracles are happening, but many still feel wrapped in those grave clothes. Right? It was Jesus who called Lazarus, but it was Lazarus who had to come out. He had to step out. And it was Lazarus who chose whether or not he was going to be in those grave clothes still. You can be alive and you can still be bound. Right? When we come to Christ, we find that freedom, we find the forgiveness, but there's oftentimes things, because I've come out of that tomb, I'm no longer dead, but I might have some grave clothes still wrapped around me a little bit that I need to understand, well, what do I need to do to take those off, right? That's our work, that's that process of sanctification. In the second week, we talked about let it flow, let it flow. We looked at Ezekiel, we looked at the Gospel of John, where the Spirit doesn't want us to stay confined in the Sunday experience. See, there's a river that needs to come forth, right? Let it flow. We see all through Scripture the teaching or the illustration, let's say, and the comparison of water and specifically a river or a well when it pertains to the Holy Spirit, right? Y'all remember the, I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Y'all remember that song, right? Let it flow. The river coming out of us. If the Spirit has filled you, you must overflow beyond yourself. The Spirit wants to come out and birth something, right? Not to hold it in, not to hold that in for ourselves. That is meant for the furtherance, certainly of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but also for the fact of just the testimony of faith, right? To bless other people. I just want to give to people in that way. I'm not talking money, I'm talking of yourself, because you have something that's coming out. Let it flow in that way. So this morning, we're going to talk about breaking the box. Breaking the box. Well, what does that mean? Well, here's a couple questions that I'm going to ask you. Do you ever feel like you hold back in your faith? Do you ever feel like you hold back? Do you ever wish you had done more, right? You look back on maybe a situation. Do you wish that you had done more in that situation concerning your faith? Be it your witness, your testimony, whatever. Have you ever been fearful of someone or the perception of how they would respond or how they would react to that flow, right? Have you ever felt that way? Do you sense there is a greater fear of man than there is a greater fear of God? Folks, church, I think we're all in that, by the way. Come on now, if we're all being honest, we have all felt, experienced, in some way, shape, or form, that in which I just asked. We have to break that box. We have to understand we have an opportunity, and we're going to see in Scripture here in just a sec, and it starts to make sense of what we're talking about, breaking that box, what that is, what does that mean? But today, as we're continuing in this let loose, we have to let go. We have to let go of those things. We have to come forth, and then we got to break the box that might be holding us back in that way. So today we're going to look at two scripture portions as kind of the basis of today's sermon. And we're going to look, it's the same story coming from two different perspectives. That's the kind of the cool, unique thing is when we read scripture, when we read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, right? When we read the Gospels, what we see sometimes, it's the same story, but it's told in a very different angle. Perspective, author, intended audience, right? All of those things. So today we're going to do that. We're going to look at the same portion of Scripture in the sense of the same story, but what we're going to do is we're going to look at it from one perspective, and then we're going to read the second one, and then we're going to see it from another perspective as how it pertains to your life and my life and what that means as far as breaking the box. So if you have your Bibles with me, or if you have your device and open that up, we're going to look at the book of Mark. Mark chapter 14, verses 3 through 9. And if you would, just follow with me. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. I love this. Verse 6. "Leave her alone," Jesus said. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want. But you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." All right, so scene is set, right? Before we look on, let's analyze that just for a second, okay? You see the difference of this woman versus, it sounds like, the majority of those in the room with the exception of Jesus, okay? You see the difference of her perception of value and worth versus what they were. They were purely a monetary kind of, that's what their mindset was, right? Look at the waste. Why would she do that? She could have sold that and done this. Their perception versus hers and Jesus's, sticking up for her. So let's look, same story, okay? You follow me? Same story. Let's look in Luke now, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. Same story, different, right? Different how Luke describes it. Excuse me. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Verse 40, Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher. Okay, he was receptive. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as great as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Same story, different perspective. What do we see as some of the differences, though? What you see in Luke is a little bit more of the differences on a spiritual side. Not to say that Mark did not have that. That's not what I'm saying. But we see it come out more explicitly here in Luke. Luke is pointing out some powerful things. And he's setting the contrast a bit more, can I say it this way, like more harshly, like more defined. Look at the contrast between the woman and those that are in attendance. They set themselves right off the bat, right? Who they were and who she was. Who was she? Was a sinner, right? They set that, boom. You see that contrast. And so we see it in Luke. It was really, it's more about the spiritual side of it coming out in that example that we see in Scripture here. In Luke, we see more of the spiritual aspect of this. Because why? What does he do later? He's talking about her. He's not talking about the money. They didn't talk about the money. They talked about her identity, who she was. She's a sinner. If you knew that, you would not have let her touch you. But what did she do? Some of the most intimate, loving, compassionate things. She washed and she kissed Jesus' feet. if you know anything about kind of biblical or ancient history, right, the feet are considered filthy, right? Why? Because it's sandy, it's dusty. They didn't have, you know, they didn't have the Nikes, and they didn't have the New Balances, right? They had sandals, if that, to wash and to touch and then to kiss Jesus' feet is a sign of love, of compassion, thankfulness, and gratitude. Luke sees and lays that out more so than in Mark. So we see two different stories, same story, two different perspectives. One kind of looked at the value of the money of what she did. She broke the jar, poured oil and poured perfume. And the other, she did the same thing, but the emphasis is upon her heart and her obedience and her love toward Jesus, to which in both instances, he acknowledges that and so eloquently says, she loves a lot. She has been forgiven. Go in peace, he says. You know, it's neither the loss of the value of the perfume or the perception or the opinion of those in that room. Neither of those things changed, whether we look at it in Mark or whether we look at it in Luke. The same thing happened. What did she do? She broke the jar and she poured perfume. No matter the value of the oil or the perfume, and no matter who else was in the room and how they felt and what they thought, she broke the box. You see what I'm talking about this morning, right? Two parallel scriptures looking at that very idea. The thought goes like this: a life following Christ is a call. It's a call of sacrificial living. Sacrificial living and giving, pouring it out. And just like this woman, breaking the jar, or in our words, breaking the box. Breaking the jar and breaking the box. You see, God is calling you and I. It's calling us to break free from spiritual limitations. Do you go back? Remember Lazarus? Those limitations were still wrapped around him. He had to choose to take them off. You have to choose to break free from those limitations. Religious expectations, personal fear that keeps us from pouring out everything to him and for him. It's time to break the box and let your worship, your obedience, and your anointing flow without restraint. Do you see why when Christine asked me, she's like, all right, yes, Lord. that song, right? And what she was experiencing and feeling was exactly, isn't that how God works too? We were all in alignment. We didn't even know it. Excuse me. It's a call to break that box. Why? So that we can flow in that anointing without restraint. You know, going back to Mark in chapter 14, verse 3, she broke the jar and poured the perfume on his feet, right? Go back to the value of the perfume. Where did she put the perfume? On the least, like on the worst place, right? On his feet. That's what I'm saying. The place that had the most, oh, that's gross, right? To walk. But that's where she put the valuable possession that she had, and she put it to Jesus' feet. She broke the jar and poured it on his feet. You know, when God calls you to let loose, you'll have to break the box. The box of reputation, the box of fear. Oh, this is a hard one, folks. The box of tradition. That's a hard one. And the box of what? Self-preservation. Self-preservation. Christine said it earlier too, where again, it was kind of like, we get comfortable. We like it this way, or I like to do it in this fashion, or no, I won't do that. I'll do this. Why? Because there could be fear. We talked about the fear of man. Well, what is that? That's not an afraid necessarily. It's the idea of respect. And my motivation comes from where, this is where we want it as a Christ follower, right? To be in the fear of God. Not afraid of God. Out of the respect of God. The motivation from my heart, I want to do that. As opposed to being motivated, why? Because of the fear of man. Ah. Breaking the box. He calls us to break the box. But what if I do this? What might happen? Sure. Absolutely. That's why I ask those questions. Has any of us ever experienced that? And I got to think we all have to some degree. We're all human. Christ is calling us to break the box. The idea is this. You can't give Jesus your all and still try to stay neat, safe, or polished. Somebody this morning said, Mike, you got your hair cut. I said, yeah. They asked it like this, did you get your hair cut for today? I said, no. I got it for the next day, and the next day after that, too, and like the next week, right? And do I want to look polished? Yes. I don't want to look unprofessional, unprepared, fill in the blank, right? Right? I got my hair cut because, unfortunately, the way I have my hair cut right now is if you let it grow out a little bit, it's like this. There's this fuzzy bush on the side of my head going out that way, and there's nothing I can do about it until I go and get it trimmed back down. I'm sorry. It's just what I chose, I guess. But you can't give Jesus your all and still expect and to hold on to those things that might be motivating your heart to stay neat, to stay safe, or to stay polished. It requires us to do that. The question then for us, there's just four points that I want to make, but the first question that I have for you this morning and joining us online is, what's in your box? You see, the alabaster jar was valuable, it was sealed, and it was a precious thing. We already talked about, Mark made mention of how the value of that was the contrast. And it's a lot like you and I. It could be comfort. It could be the gifting or control, right? That jar represented something as your jar, your box represents something for you. Comfort, gifting, control. But you know what? Here's the cool thing. The purpose, though, we see. Its purpose was only fulfilled when it was broken and poured out. Do you see that? The value wasn't there until she broke it. Because it didn't have any value, really, if it wasn't going to be used, poured out upon Jesus' feet. You see, the box represents whatever you or I hold tightly, protect, or polish rather than surrender. She chose to break the jar and to pour it out. That could be your testimony. That's why testimonies, beyond almost anything other than the move of the Holy Spirit, are so powerful. Why? Because it's the account of what God has done in your life. And you know what the thing about testimonies is? Think about it. They only work if you say them and if you live it out. Testimonies don't mean anything if that's the case. If you don't, they don't have any value or merit unless you say, let me tell you what Jesus did for my life. Let me tell you where I was. Let me tell you how messed up my life was. And then Jesus came in and then he made it right. And he's showing me how to live a better life. Your testimony is only valuable and it will only work if you speak it out and live it. Otherwise, like that jar and like that perfume that was still in there, it meant nothing until it was broken. What's in your box? What are you holding back? Some of us want to give God a little drizzle, right? We want to just, well, kind of like when we're putting oil and vinegar on our salad, right? We're going to put a little bit of oil, a little bit of vinegar, right? Like, God doesn't want the drizzle. Just like when we sang earlier, right? And just like how we saw in Ezekiel, the river flow, let it flow. He doesn't want a drizzle from you. He wants all of you to be poured out, to be open, to be broken in that way. Right? What did it say? She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. You know, you got to think, was she concerned about the mess? I don't think so. I mean, it's going to get everywhere, right? That oil is going to get all the floor. Didn't matter. It was the act of obedience and love for her. Here's another thought. As you look and examine your heart, what's in your box? Second thing is, breaking the box is personal, not performative. Hear that? It's a personal thing. It's not a showy thing. I mean, really, if we look at those two examples in Scripture, I think if you and I were in that situation, you know, we could probably side on the side of the Pharisees and on those that were looking at that situation in the contrast of the woman, right? You and I may be like that. We might have that heart, right? Wow, look at what she's doing. Goodness gracious, she's making a scene. No. Breaking the box is a personal thing. It's not performative. She didn't do this for show. She did it out of the deep love and gratitude for Jesus. It was the act of love towards him. You know, let me embellish a little bit, right? Like she's like, let me put some oil on your feet, Jesus. Yeah, like we're going to sing and we're going to make a scene. No, she didn't. Scripture doesn't say that. But what does it say? It says it was her love that she did it. Her gratitude. It wasn't with water. It was with her tears. Scripture says that she wet his feet with her tears. Now you say to me, well, I think she was pretty thankful. Yeah, I would say so. It wasn't a performance. You know, it's the religious people, the Pharisees, that criticized her, but it was Jesus that called it beautiful and prophetic. Jesus knew right away what this was all about. And it wasn't a show. It wasn't all about her. It wasn't. Who was it about? It was about Jesus, actually, and what Jesus has done for her. Why? Because Luke said how much of a sinner she was. That contrast. And then Luke finally says, she has loved much. Her many sins have been forgiven. I think, you know, there's probably many of us in here that would say, Mike, I can relate to that. My life, right? Because I have my hand raised. Many of my sins forgiven. And look at the love that came as a result of that. Let me give you another example of what this looks like of not performing. If we look at, it's a great illustration of this in the Old Testament, King David. So in 2 Samuel chapter 6, I'm going to read verses 12 through 16. I'm going to start at a certain point. So it says this. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. So David's leading the parade, if you will. They're bringing the ark back into the city of Jerusalem. Big celebration. And when those who bore the ark of the Lord had gone six steps, he sacrificed an ox and fattened an animal. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the horn. They had the whole band. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. Interesting. David, joyful, joyous, celebratory, dancing, rejoicing with all his might, shouting, the horn section's over here, shouting and playing, right? They got a brass ensemble. They are praising God with what? Abandonment. They are just releasing it, letting it flow. What happens? If we go down to verse 20, when David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, oh, here we go. How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, going around half naked in full view of the slave girls of his servants as any vulgar fellow would. David said to her, Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this. I will be humiliated in my eyes, in my own eyes. David danced before the Lord. He let out a praise. He broke the box. He didn't let the fear of man get in between him and the Lord that he was serving, because he was bringing the ark of God back into the city of Jerusalem. And he was saying, thank you, God, unashamed, unabashed. He would become even more undignified. Why? Because it was not a performance. It was personal. He was praising his God. He was singing to the Lord, not to the other people around him, especially to the house of Saul. You'll never fully let loose until you stop worshiping people's opinions of yourself. Church, break that box. You will never fully let that flow. Let the anointing flow in your life. Let the blessing of God flow in your life. You will not fully experience that until you stop worshiping other people's opinion of who you are, of your faith, and what they think of you, when you praise Him. You're going to be in that box if you don't. You're going to limit yourself. You're going to have those grave clothes still on. Third thing is God moves where people break the box. Think about that. God moves where people break the box. Go back to the scriptures in Mark and Luke, right? When she broke the jar, what was in it? Perfume. It was smelling some, you know, I don't know what, you know, frankincense, I don't know. But it was something of an aroma, sweet, good smelling, right? I have to tattle on my daughter a little bit. So she's been going into our bedroom and our bathroom and our bedroom and to go to the bathroom. And then when she does, she has this, there's a spray bottle in there, and she goes, pshh. I'm not kidding you. I walked in downstairs into the house one day, and I walked into the house. I'm like, what is that smell? What? I could smell the whatever the floral aroma of the spray because she had sprayed so much. The point is this, is that when she broke that box or when she broke the jar and the perfume came flowing, it changed the atmosphere in the room, didn't it? You could smell it. Now, here's the thing. It changed the atmosphere in the room, but there were certain people that didn't go well for them, right? Because they got more indignant. They weren't receiving of what she was doing and weren't receiving of what Jesus was trying to teach. But it changes the room when God moves where people break the box. It filled with fragrance, and then Jesus defends her publicly. In fact, and we see this in both instances of both Mark and Luke say it, her story will be recorded. And every time the gospel is preached, right? There's a reference. There's the idea. Like she was a part of that. Mark 14:9, it just says it that way. Wherever the gospel is preached, what she has done will also be told. She broke the box, it changed the atmosphere, and it changed, to some degree, you could say, history. And it was her private moment of surrender that caused a public shift in the room. You see that? See, you and I can sit here today, we can read that story, and we can be changed by the obedience and her surrender so many years ago. We can be challenged by that. And I'm sure you and I are similar. Like I think we've all been in this situation where we've been in those situations where something happens in an environment, right? Like, and the atmosphere in the room changes, right? You know, we can point to people oftentimes and the way that a personality can change the atmosphere in the room, the temperature of the room, right? Somebody could either, if the room is tensious and uptight, you know, somebody could walk into that room with a personality of just joy and peace and just completely deflate it and just, oh, feel so much better. Obviously, the odd opposite can happen too. Somebody can come into the room and it's like, ooh, wow. Point is that when you break the box, you provide the opportunity to change the room. And in this case, and in this instance, and what we pray and hope for in your life as a disciple of Jesus, that it changes it for the better. It changes the atmosphere in the room. Because it's, you know why? It's not about you. It wasn't about the woman. And it wasn't about the perfume, actually. It was actually about Jesus and what he did for her and what he's done for you and I. Last point is this: break the box to make room for the flow. You know, when that jar stayed sealed, the oil was contained. Once it was broken, what happened? It flowed freely. Do you see that? Do you see that in your life? When you break the box, as she broke the jar, you give yourself the opportunity, and you give the opportunity to allow the Holy Spirit to use you in a way that you could never do had it stayed sealed and had it stayed contained. You give yourself the opportunity to be used by God in a way that you can never even possibly imagine, to be poured out and your life to flow, right? As we talked about last week, letting it flow. You know, some people want the anointing to flow, but they don't necessarily want to be broken. You hear that? Hey, I want God to be used in my life, but I'm going to stay back here where it's safe. It's neat. It's polished. Got my box. Got my jar. It requires us to be broken. What's the psalmist saying? Psalm 51:17, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. You know, there's an interesting thing in Japanese pottery. Anybody have a fan in Japanese pottery in here? No? Okay. Japanese pottery. I'd encourage you to look this up. There's an interesting technique. It's called kintsugi. I might be saying it wrong. Kintsugi, something like that, okay? It's the act of taking a broken vessel, a bowl, a jar, a cup, a vase, whatever. Broken. What happens? Well, it no longer is functionable, right? Can't be used anymore. So in Japanese culture, what do? They take, oftentimes, this gold, call it glue, call it solder, whatever, I'm not quite even sure. And what do? They reattach all of the pieces that were broken. What happens when it's complete and dried? It actually looks more beautiful after it's been broken. In fact, the value and worth of that piece of pottery, more often than not, increases. What does that have to do with us? You and I have to break the box. You and I need to be broken. And when we are broken, God comes together in His grace, His forgiveness, His mercy and love for us. And what does He do? He takes gold, let's say, right? And He puts all the pieces back together to make you and I an even more beautiful vessel to be used by Him. Only God can do that. That's why testimonies. Because I was broken, and now I'm this. That's why testimonies are powerful. But if you want to have God use you, if you say, I want the anointing to flow, but then you're not willing to be broken, can I challenge you? Do you really want that? You have to be broken, abandoned, unashamed. God, here I am. You have all of me. Let it flow, God. That's when He puts you all back together. like a beautiful piece of artwork. And then he uses you for someone over here, someone over there, to be poured out, because you're not holding back. You're pouring the oil out. So this morning, as we have done, what I'm going to ask us is I'm going to ask anybody who feels led. Church, do you feel led? Do you want to break the box? Do you need to break the box? Do you need to break the box of the fear of man? Do you need to break the box of religious pride? Do you need to break your silence? Break open your praise like David. Break the box of performance and return to pure devotion. David's heart was not for the people. It was for his Lord. It was for his God, his devotion. And that's why he praised, and that's why he danced, and that's why he shouted. How about you today? What do you need to break? So this morning, here's what I'm going to ask. Would you all stand with me? Just stand with me. And as the worship team plays, what I'm going to ask is, if you're here today and there's something, whatever box, fill in the blank for you, that you say and you acknowledge and you admit, Pastor Mike, that is mine. I'm not asking anybody to raise your hands. What I'm asking you to do, like Lazarus, come forth. Could we come down and celebrate and praise and worship around the altars again? We've been doing that every week so far. We're going to do something in just a moment as we continue here. But I'm going to invite you this morning, if that's you, if you need to break the box of something, if you want to let loose and let God's power flow through your life, come join me at the altars and let's agree together and let's pray for whatever box that is for your life to be broken. Would you come this morning?
Something isn't adding up. This wild exchange you offer us. I gave my worst, you gave your blood. Seems hard to believe. You're telling me you chose the cross. You're telling me I'm worth that much. If that's the measure of your love,
come down.
How else would I sing?
Come.
But
today, church.
I'm complete.
Give it all.
Freely.
Break the box.
Hands to the ceiling enamored.
Don't hold back. The Holy Spirit saying to you today, surrender it all. We've been making church, this is giving praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul gives clear direction of the anointing and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then this morning, if you're here, what's that all about? Well, in 1 Corinthians, he talks about one of those gifts was speaking another language. And then to another is the interpretation. So this morning, somebody needed to hear that. And whenever we have that as a corporate body, it's never to divide. It's never to bring division or confusion. And it's certainly not a performance, as we talked about. What is it? It's personal. Because somebody here needed to hear the words of the Holy Spirit speaking to you. But I think that word is for all of us this morning, actually. I think it's for all of us. To break free, to break the box, to not hold on, take off the grave clothes, come forth out of that tomb, live in the freedom and not the fear. So this morning, here's what I want us to do. We've been doing this for the last couple weeks, and I'm going to continue this. Pastor Brad has led us in this. I'm gonna ask that we all say that. We're gonna do a declaration this morning. And I'm gonna have it up on the screen. But we're gonna say this together. Would you join me this morning? Powerful way to end a service, I think. Let's agree together for this. I'm breaking the box. I will not hold back my worship. I will not limit my obedience. I will pour out everything he's given me. Let it flow. Let it move. Let it break open. I'm letting loose. No more boxes. No more fear. Give him praise, church. What a powerful way to end a service this morning. So again, thank you for being here. I'm excited to see, as we come back next week, testimonies of what God wants to do in your life when we break the box. Church, let's agree as we conclude and as we sing together, as we praise Him, let's just leave in, again, the anointing and the power of His Holy Spirit upon your life, because you're choosing not to live in that fear. You're choosing to live in the freedom of His Holy Spirit. Amen? Church, we love you. God bless you. We will see you next week. Yeah.